Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
A lot of traffic, as we mentioned.
Wilson Contreras slams one deep left center. It's a goner. The Cardinals are down by two again, as Contreras, who struck out the first two times, just hit one out. His 17th home run of the year and his 67th RBI.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Well, Cardinals in Florida, and they just won two of three from the Marlins. They're going to play Tampa Bay starting tonight. This is one of those weirdo series where there is a game tonight, a game tomorrow, and then they're off Saturday.
So why are they doing that?
There's a
that?
Football game Saturday.
Oh.
I think the Bucks play or something.
But it's
I don't know.
Preseason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But still, there's a game. So there's no game on Saturday, which is crazy because it's like the perfect day of the week to have a baseball game. Mm-hmm. So no game Saturday, then they'll play Sunday. We are joined now by Matt Pauly, the host of Sports Open Line, Redbird Rush Hour, and there'll be about 40 minutes of Redbird Rush Hour today, starting at 5 o'clock, and Cardinals pre and post. Matt Pauly, welcome back to St. Louis.
Thank you. Just to put a little bit more on that, so they're playing in a minor league stadium this year because the roof got ripped off of Tropicana Field.
Right.
And I believe the minor league stadium is in very close proximity to where the Buccaneers play. Mm-hmm. So from a logistics standpoint, I don't think they can pull off both events at the same
time. Do you know what the capacity is for that stadium that Tampa Bay's playing in right now?
I don't. I can look it up, but I would guess it's like 8,000. That's what most places like that are.
Yeah, it's pretty small. And did they
Will they count that then? You know how we were talking about Cardinals attendance and how it's way down,
mm-hmm.
and how the Colorado Rockies are outdrawing. This can't.
It's 11,000, by the way. It's 11,000.
Okay.
Yes, but it does. That's what the attendance is. It counts against them. So if they sell out. Their attendance is 11,000.
That was one of the problems because the way players get paid in the postseason is playoff shares.
Right.
You don't get like an extended salary because your season gets extended. The only way players get money in the playoffs is by playoff shares. Playoff shares is connected to attendance and ticket revenue. Mm. So there was a lot of discussion about both the A's and the Rays, that if they were to get into the postseason, would they try to put those games in different venues?
But they decided not to, right?
They decided not to.
Yeah,
so
they were going to play in that minor league park.
Yep. It doesn't look likely they'll make the postseason, but if they were to, those players will get paid basically less than players for other teams will get paid.
Honestly, wouldn't that not be something if you've got this stadium that seats 11,000 people and that is a playoff stadium? You've got series. You've got at least a couple of games happening.
So I know we were...
That would just have been nuts.
Not to stick too long on the attendance topic, but I really do believe what I said earlier this week, which I think Ronge agrees with me, that you can complain or name all the reasons why Cardinals fans aren't showing up like they usually do this season. You can say crime. They don't want to drive downtown. Parking's too expensive. And I say winning erases all of those excuses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fans will show up when the team is winning, but I guess the caveat would be, except for in Florida, why don't fans show up for the Rays?
Well, Matt, you've been down there to Tampa. That's a really crappy ballpark to get to. It's just not a great location.
Yeah, it's a bad location. And they're going to get a new ballpark, I think, at some point when this new ownership group comes in. That's going to get a little bit, they're going to play better with local government officials than the current group. Yeah, it's but it's always been that way. I'm not I'm not convinced that you're ever going to get huge crowds in Tampa or Miami for Major League Baseball. That's just, it's kind of the way things are, unfortunately, down there, even when they're winning. And, you know, I think when you're talking about postseason and things like that, obviously, they always had really great crowds. But just for an average Tuesday night game, I don't think it really matters how good they are. Now, on the other side of it, you go look at like a place like Toronto, where this year they're really good, but historically they have not been especially good. That place rocks and rolls every single night, whether the team's good or bad. Colorado's another spot. They are a terrible baseball team, but people show up to Coors Field. And it's not because of baseball. Like, I thought it was I got frustrated the other day when people said, oh my gosh, the Cardinals' attendance is worse than the Rockies. How embarrassing is that? Well, if you understood what's going on in Colorado, you would understand that what you're paying a cover charge to go to a bar. And that's what mm-hmm. it is at Coors Field. People don't show up to Coors Field for the baseball. People show up for the environment, the view. They blew out the entire upper right field section a few years back and put in like a party deck up there where you can't even see the field. It's just a big bar. So that's why people go. But there are ways to get people into ballparks, even when the team's not winning. I don't know if in St. Louis that's ever going to be possible mm-hmm. because Cardinals baseball and winning Cardinals baseball is so important to people in the city.
So that is a they've got the Bud Terrace, which has been up there for several years now. So it's a similar kind of thing, but you could still see the game from up there, but it's a place to go and hang out. You know, it's not like sitting in your seats. I think it is a different market in that way. Matt, don't you? Then, and I don't think it's just about, well, we demand winning. My impression is there are a few more families that go to Cardinals games. You've got people who are traveling from other cities coming into town, and they are more likely to go if the team is good than they are to, you know, come from Arkansas if the team's not very good. So because they rely on the out-of-towners so much, doesn't that affect, you know, the way they would be able to attract fans? Like, would you be able to attract them if you said, we're just turning Busch Stadium into a big bar now?
I mean, there'd be a certain demographic that would come in, but I think your core customer, no. And you mentioned the outer markets. There's two things. A, you think about the groups and, you know, how many church groups, how many Kiwanis clubs, things like that, maybe not even in the St. Louis area, who make an annual trip into St. Louis, have maybe scrapped it this year. That's one part of it. And then, just the fact that the Cardinal Nation footprint does expand, obviously, to Oklahoma and Arkansas and Iowa and all these places where if the excitement and fervor for the team is not what it normally is, those people might not make the decision to drive 3, 4, 5, 6 hours into St. Louis multiple times a summer.
All right, so this trip is happening. The Florida trip continues. They took 2 of 3 from Miami. And at this point of the year, Matt, how much are you concerned with the outcome of games?
I mean, I want them to win.
I asked the question. I mean, it's not a stupid question. It's because this is probably not going to be a playoff team, right? And unless they go on some incredible run, and I think we're looking toward the future. So how important are the outcomes to you?
I'll just say, like, my take on your question, tell me if you're right, but if you're giving young players a chance to develop but you're losing games versus throwing in the veterans and able to snag a few games, are you willing to lose games to give rookies and young guys more reps?
Yes, without a doubt. I'm definitely willing to do that. I also think there's value in playing games. Like right now, they're 5 games out of a playoff spot. If they're 3 games out, I think it feels a little bit different. They're 2 games under 500.
Sure.
If they're 1 game over 500 and 3 games out of a playoff spot, our conversation is probably like, well, that door is still like slightly ajar. I would like to at least get to that slightly ajar point once again, where they're playing games that really still have some meaning and young guys get the opportunity to just experience that. The runway thing and the finding out about guys thing, there's not a lot of season left. What are we really going to learn about anybody between now and the end of the season? I'm not trying to say that it's meaningless or anything like that. It's just I don't know how much value there is at this point moving forward in all that stuff, but at the same time, it's not like it's a 6 weeks without value. And I know I'm kind of talking out both sides of my mouth here.
It's really interesting you say that because, you know, September, when that month rolls around, there are the September call-ups and teams can bring up guys from the minor leagues and they expand the rosters. So when they do that, typically, you know, we're all going to want to see JJ Weatherholt. I don't know if we're going to see him, but we'd like to get a taste of that. So I think there's a lot of hope from Cardinals fans that he makes his way up to the club at some point before the year is over. So, I mean, you don't think there's a ton of value in that, or is there a little bit of value in bringing up a guy, letting him have a taste of the big leagues, even if it's only for 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think there's definitely value in that. I don't think they're going to call up JJ Weatherholt, and I think you can make a legit argument for both, speaking of talking on both sides of my mouth. Like one, the argument for is it's the Mason Winn argument. How much value did he get from having that final month of the season a couple years ago where he knew who he was going to be moving forward and knew what the big leagues was going to be and all that sort of stuff. So 100% value. Now, John Mozeliak has talked a lot lately about a couple things when it comes to that. One of them is the 40-man spots, and one of them is the service times thing. So from the fact that a lot of these guys like a Quinn Matthews and like a J.J. Weatherholt are not at a point right now where they have to be added to the roster, the 40-man roster this offseason, not putting them on the 40-man roster creates more flexibility for Heim Bloom. And I think that's a very legitimate argument to be made that you, as Heim Bloom comes into his first season totally operating the big league roster, having as many 40-man spots available for him to do as much as he wants, I think there's a ton of value in that, and probably that outweighs the value of JJ Weatherholt coming up for a final month. Now, something else that Mo has talked about a little bit, and I just kind of heard the things secondhand. I didn't hear, I was out of town, so I didn't hear the conversation that he had with Tom on Sunday morning, but I've seen some stuff, and I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe at this point he talked a little bit about the service time stuff, and that's where I would push back, because there's not a whole lot of difference in bringing a guy up for the final months of the season and having a guy on the opening day roster when it comes to service time. Now, if they're planning on stashing J.J. Weatherholt to AAA for the first month of the season next year to get another year of club control on him, that's a totally different conversation. But I don't get the sense that I get the sense that Weatherholt's going to be competing for a big league job. So if it's a service time thing, that's where I would probably push back a little bit.
All right, Matt, before we let you go, I know you said that, you know, Tampa Bay fans, hard to show up because they got to drive so much. How was it for you driving 13 hours with a 6-year-old and a 14-month-old twice in 4 days?
Yeah.
13 hours.
Yeah, it was a challenge. We unfortunately had a death in the family on my wife's side, so we had to get to Colorado Springs for a funeral over the last couple days. And my oldest, the 6-year-old, she's done that drive, and she's traveled a lot in her life. Our youngest has never traveled, and she is a squirmy little thing, and she was not having it. And of the 13 hours on the way out there, she probably screamed/cried for a good 12 hours of it.
Oh, no!
On the way back, she was a little bit better. She got a nap in yesterday when we were driving back. So the return trip was not as bad, but the going there was pretty terrible.
Matt,
pretty terrible.
You can plead the fifth. Was Benadryl involved at all?
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
It was not. It maybe should have been, but that I don't know if it would have worked. She was on one yesterday.
Yeah.
She was on one.
Yeah, it's not a magic drug. I mean, it's just it takes the edge off, you know. But
yeah, we did.
Benadryl.
She took it to a new level after we crossed the Colorado border, and she was holding her ears. So we started to think she was probably being affected by the altitude as we were going up to, you know, close to 6,000 feet.
So that's the thing. So you don't realize that Western Kansas is like 4,000 feet.
Yeah. So we gave her Tylenol yesterday before the drive. That way, if she had ear issues, maybe that would be a little bit better. So maybe that went into it. But again, the first 8 hours of that drive, you're at sea level, so that wasn't most of the problem.
Have you considered asking her to please calm down a bit? Because it's not, it's just not a logical thing to do. To scream and cry and make a bunch of noise for when mom and dad are trying to relax.
I'm pretty good at like just tuning it out. I love my wife. That is not her strong. She has a lot of things she's good at. I've got a lot of things I'm good at. Mm-hmm. One of the things she is not as good at is being able to just, you know, because she's a mom. Moms react to kids crying more than dads do. It's not obvious. Mom should be that way. But yeah, she did not. I think she had a harder time with it than I did.
Oh, well, that's a rough 4 days, Matt, kind of all the way around.
Mom was like, she was probably going through all the permutations. What if we just left her here?
I know you guys have a guy get out real quick. Did you know that because it was a military, it was a funeral with somebody who was served in the military, and they always do the military honors, if you've been in one of those, that gets me every single time. But now the bugle that they play taps isn't a real bugle. It's they press a button while they have it up to their mouth or whatever, and it plays a recording of it.
What?
I don't know what you're.
Why?
That sounds made
it's
up.
It's not that long of a song.
No. No, it is not. And I'm sure there are times where they still use the real one, but that's an option. So when the two military folks came in, the person put it up and pressed a button, and that's when taps played.
What is the lip syncing term for bugle playing? That doesn't seem right.
You can make
right
it up right now. I know.
Well,
I saw
I'm
that.
I'm thinking
like,
of really isn't
on?
That great right. of a term, honestly.
There is a thing called a taps bugle. It's an electronic self-playing taps bugle that you buy. And
clearly they have a government contract.
And they're about $1,200.
Whoa.
Wow. Your tax dollars at work.
Why would you not just learn to play
it? It's like 10 notes.
That's what I was thinking. It's the army. You can tell people to do things. Hey, you, go to music class.
You know what? Maybe they just don't have enough people for all the funerals to do this.
Maybe.
Maybe, wow.
That's a $1,200 bugle? Damn. Okay.
I don't even know what the going rate for
that.
Bugles,
yep.
though.
I just looked it up. It's a real thing.
I'm going to look at a regular bugle.
It's called
Matt,
the Taps Bugle.
This is very interesting. This is as interesting as my fact that there are only two escalators in Wyoming.
Thanks, Matt Pauly.
You bet.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.